Amen. We're going to begin. We're going to turn. You can find two places. We're going to look at, this will be on the screen for you, but we're going to look at 2 Corinthians chapter 10. And we're also going to pick up one verse in Philippians chapter 4. So 2 Corinthians, we'll begin there. 2 Corinthians chapter 10 and then Philippians chapter 4. 2 Corinthians 10. Verse number 3 through 5 here. 2 Corinthians 10:3 says, "For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war according to the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty in God for pulling down strongholds, casting down arguments, and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, bringing every thought," not just occasionally, but every thought, "into captivity to the obedience of Christ." In other words, any thought that comes to your mind that exalts itself against the Word of God, the knowledge of God, we are to bring every thought into captivity. Praise God. And then in Philippians, I didn't turn there, Philippians chapter 4, verse number 8, "Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatever things are noble, whatever things are just, whatever things are pure, whatever things are lovely, whatever things are of a good report, if there is any virtue, if there is any praiseworthy, meditate on these things." This New King James, I think the King James says, "think on these things." A lot of other translations say, "fix your mind on these things." We're in the middle of a series that I'm calling Real and Lasting Victory. Real and Lasting Victory. And you know, this is part 4. So, you know, we already said a lot of things, of course. And if you don't hear any of them, make sure you hear last Sunday morning's. I usually don't say that, but make sure you hear last Sunday morning's message. Glory to God. And we've said, in order to experience real and lasting victory, we must know what the Bible actually says. Now, not what grandma said the Bible says, or not what this church said the Bible, but what the Bible actually says. It's what that Bible actually says and what you know for yourself that it actually says that makes a difference in your life, especially when you go out and do what it says. So you have to find out what the Word of God actually says about any subject, about your mind, about your finances, about your marriage, about training your children, about your job, about your relationships, about any subject, doesn't matter what it is. Find out what the Word of God actually says and then internalize that. In other words, make it your own word that you know, amen, and get it on the inside of you, and then most importantly, go out and be a doer of the word that you hear. Because you see, sooner or later, as a Christian, we must stand on our own 2 feet spiritually. You can't live off other people's prayers. You can't live off other people's gifts. You can't live off other people's faith. You can't live off special manifestations or demonstrations of the Spirit. Sooner or later, God expects you to know the Word of God for yourself and to act on that Word for yourself. Can you say amen? Amen. And see, any believer who knows and believes and acts on the Word concerning any subject and also keeps wrong thoughts out of their minds. That's what we're emphasizing in this message. We're talking about putting right things in and keeping wrong things out. Great, great key to walking in victory in any area of life. Keep the right things in or put the right things in and keep wrong things out. And anybody that does that can experience and will experience lasting victory and real victory. The reason I say lasting victory is because, you know, sometimes you pray for people and they get ministered to on your faith and your prayers, and they're okay and they live on that for a few days, but then they lose it, amen, because they didn't get it on their own. Sooner or later, you have to find out what the Word of God says for yourself. And that's why Proverbs 4:23 says, you know, speaking of guarding our hearts, it says, "Guard or keep your heart," not just guard it, not just keep it, but do it with all diligence. Guard or keep your heart with all diligence. So because of the way it's worded in the Greek there, a lot of different translations say, above everything else, above all else, or above all, or above everything else. Above everything else, guard and keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it spring the issues of your life. What's in you is going to come out. Amen. The Sproul translation says, for out of your heart flow the actions of your life. You know, well, Jesus said, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. And then on another place, Jesus said, a good man out of the good treasure of his heart, In other words, the thing stored up in his heart, whatever you've stored in your heart, whatever you've put in your heart, that's what's going to come out of you. If you got good things stored in there, good things are going to come out. If bad things are stored in there, then bad things are going to come out. And you know, another place he said, out of the heart proceed evil thoughts. First thing he said, evil thoughts. And then he talks about those different sins, you know. So what's in you will come out in words and are in actions and in your behavior. So the New Living Translation of Proverbs 4:23 says, guard your heart above all else, for it determines your life. The New Century Version says, be careful what you think, because your thoughts run your life. And a lot of other translations say your thoughts control your life. So we want to put good things in our hearts, and we want to keep wrong things out of our minds. Everybody say amen. Amen. Glory to God. Thank you. Glory to God. And so as we said to you, now we talk about wrong thoughts. And people think, well, yeah, lustful thoughts, evil thoughts, sinful thoughts. Well, certainly those are wrong thoughts. Temptation is to do evil, that you're not sinning because you're tempted, but thoughts that are evil are wrong thoughts. But listen, any thought that contradicts God's word is a wrong thought. Any thought that's not in line with the Bible is a wrong thought. For instance, sometimes people struggle with condemnation and guilt, and they don't believe they're forgiven. Well, that's a wrong thought, because it's the blood of Jesus. You can't get any more forgiven. I mean, if you've asked Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior and received Him, then you can't get any more forgiven than the blood of Jesus Christ cleansing you. And so sometimes people have all kinds of thoughts that are out of line with God's word, but not a sinful thought, but they are wrong thoughts. And so any thought, not just sinful thoughts, but any thought that contradicts God's word is a wrong thought and should be rejected. Glory to God. So we must realize, as we've talked about in the past, that the battleground is the mind. The battleground is the mind. And we must diligently guard our minds. Our minds are the gateway to our spirits, to our heart. And sometimes the word heart, you understand, or spirit in the Bible, is talking about not just your spirit, but sometimes the word heart in the Bible is talking about your passions, your emotions, and even your mind. But we must guard our hearts, and we must diligently and immediately and forcefully reject any thought that comes to our mind that is not in line with God's word. The key is to immediately and forcefully do it. That's what the word of God teaches. See, we're at war. War should not frighten us, because it's not a war. Jesus already won the battle. We just have to enforce the devil's defeat. And any time we actually do that, he runs from us. He's afraid of us. He's defeated. Amen. But it does mean that we have to be serious about it. Glory to God. So it's everybody say immediately and forcefully. See, you can't toy with or flirt with or put up for 1 second any wrong thought. Fear thoughts are wrong thoughts, because there is absolutely no Bible reason to ever be afraid of anything. Over almost 400 times the Bible says fear not. Now that doesn't mean you're not careful of, but we're talking about you anxious and afraid and scared. No Bible reason to ever. So a fear thought is a wrong thought. And you can't flirt with it. You can't toy with it. You can't just play around with it, whatever kind of thought it is, for a little bit. No. You have to immediately and forcefully deal with it. Because unchecked and unrestrained wrong thoughts lead to wrong actions, wrong beliefs, wrong behavior, and wrong emotions. I'm going to say it again. It all starts in the mind. It all starts with a single thought, sometimes a rogue thought. Sometimes your mind is bombarded with fear thoughts or anxious thoughts or whatever kind of wrong thoughts. But an unchecked, unrestrained wrong thoughts lead to wrong beliefs, wrong actions, and wrong emotions that are detrimental to us in some way or another. And in some cases, those wrong thoughts enslave people and control people's lives. Ever known anybody that was just controlled by fear? Just controlled by some lust? Controlled by some habit? That's what I'm talking about. But controlled by insecurities? Controlled by thoughts of rejection? See, wrong all started with a thought. Glory to God. Are you listening to me? And so wrong, things that are detrimental and in some cases enslaving leads to wrong behavior, addictive behavior, sinful behavior, self-destructive behavior. Amen. That all begins with a wrong thought. And it's not just, some horrible behavior, but things that rob people of joy, things that rob people of peace, things that rob people of mental well-being, all begins with thoughts. Wrong thoughts. Amen. Glory to God. And the spiritual battle for our thoughts will continue throughout our earthly lives. Praise God. In other words, you have to be vigilant about this, but we always win. So everybody say, always win. There's no such thing as the devil not running from you when you submit to God and resist the devil. You have spiritual weapons. You have the Word of God. You have the name of Jesus. You have the blood of Jesus. Glory to God. You have the power of prayer. You have faith. All of these things. Glory to God. The devil is no match for those things. But you're no match for him when he gets you over into the arena of your thought life. When you get over there, he will whip you. He will defeat you every single time. So you don't go that realm with him. No, you in faith reject those thoughts. See, he knows the only way he can hurt us or control us or mess with our emotions is to get us to think and then believe things that are not true. So that's why his attack is in the thought realm. Suggestions, ideas, see a billboard, hear something, watch something, all trying to sow some thought into your mind that hopefully he can actually take over your life with, in that area at least, because of that wrong thinking. Somebody said, where the mind goes, the man follows. Where the mind goes, the man follows. So, again, the devil brings thoughts to our minds in a variety of different ways and through a variety of different avenues to see if we will take the bait. Amen? Because he knows exactly how this works. He knows exactly how. If we entertain some wrong thought, if we dwell on it, if we meditate on it, it will take root in our hearts. That's exactly how God sows his word into our hearts. The devil just takes that same system because he's not an inventor. He's not a creator. He just copies God. He knows what God does works. He just perverts God's system. And so he wants to sow some wrong thought. It doesn't matter what the wrong thought is. Just something that he can use against you to hurt you. He takes some wrong thought, something that you're susceptible to for whatever reason, and he wants you to think on it and meditate on it and let it roam around free in your mind, because he knows it will then take root in your heart, and then you will act on it and be controlled by it or hurt by it in some way. So we must realize several things here. Amen. Just to say it a different way, number one, understand this. You know, Brother Hagin used to say, the holiest saints of God that have ever lived realize that uninvited and unwanted thoughts come to their minds that their heart resents. In other words, you'll never get so holy that you're not don't have wrong thoughts come to your mind. So there's nothing wrong with you, because wrong thoughts, crazy thoughts, rogue thoughts, even wicked thoughts come to your mind. No, like as he said, the holiest saints of God that have ever lived realize that at times unholy thoughts come to their mind that their heart resents. In other words, you're not wicked or evil or unspiritual because unholy thoughts come to your mind. Amen. And number two, we are responsible for guarding our thoughts for the rest of our lives. No one else can think for us. I don't care how many times you get counsel. I don't care how good a counsel it is. I don't care how many programs you go to. I don't care how many times we anoint you with oil or lay hands on you or cast the devil out of you. Sooner or later, you have to control your own thoughts, and I have to control Jesus, Lord, hallelujah. Almost failed. And I have to, you'd have laughed, wouldn't you, if I'd have failed. And I have to control my thoughts. Amen. Let me just go back to Philippians chapter 4 a second. You know, we read that all the time. Finally, my brethren, think on whatever things are less, think of the truth. That is a powerful, powerful, powerful scripture. That would save us untold heartache if we would do it. Whatever things are noble, whatever things are just. Is it just? Is it true? If it's pure, is it lovely? Is it of a good report? If it's not, then don't think it. And so I was reading after a man, because I skipped this while ago, I want to back up, named Alexander McLaren. In his commentary, he said this about this scripture, Philippians 4:8, think on these things. He said, think on these things to begin with. That advice implies that we can, so you can control what you think. We can, and therefore we should, exercise a very rigid control over the part of our lives which a great many of us never think of controlling at all. In other words, people just, in the church world, you know, we almost thought it was wrong to talk about the mind. I'm going back 20, 30, 40, 50 years ago. You know, but a lot of people, thoughts come. So they whatever thoughts comes to their mind, they just think them. He said, and I'm going to paraphrase this because he was born in the 1800s. And so I'm just going to paraphrase what he said because he kind of, that style back in then is not the way we talk today. But this is what he said. Many people's thoughts just go with whatever is put before them. And they have rarely even ever strongly guarded what they allow themselves to think on and force their minds to reject any thought, to keep out, rather, wrong thoughts. He says this is extremely necessary for us. For as Proverbs says, he that hath no rule over his own spirit is like a city broken down without walls. Anybody can come in, anybody can go out. Spirit there means your passions, your desires, your emotions. You know, and if you don't control your own spirit, amen. He that has no rule over his own spirit, and you do that by controlling your thoughts, then you're like somebody that has broken down walls. Amen. And so he says we must put a guard over our minds. Just like countries, this is what he said now, just like, this is an outstanding, outstanding, outstanding example. Unfortunately, just like countries put a guard on their borders and let in no, see, you have to understand this man, this was a Baptist minister, a Baptist pastor. He was born in 1826 and he died in 1910. And like anybody with half a brain, spiritually and naturally, everybody throughout the history of the world, even biblically, know that you have to guard your borders. But so much. We must put a guard over our minds, just like countries put a guard on their borders and let in no evil, vagrant, or criminal persons that cannot show a passport and a clean bill of health. That's a pretty good example, isn't it? It might not fly in some circles today, but that's a fantastic example. You go and try to live in some third world country and just walk in there. They're not going to let you just walk in there. Never mind. You must exercise control over the thoughts that come from many sources, lest your minds become like broken down cities where you have no control over your life and no control over your emotions and no control over your fleshly desires. It all begins in the mind. And so we are responsible for guarding our thought lives for the rest of our lives. And you listen, here's the thing you have to understand. We can think right things and reject wrong things as God has instructed us to do, or told us to do, or commanded us to do. I mean, if there's something, if God in the New Testament tells us to do something, then isn't that a command? But you have to understand, whatever God commands you to do, He enables you to do. Whatever God commands you to do, He graces you to do. Whatever God tells you to do, you have the power and the ability to do it. And you have to believe that, and you have to act like that's true. And you'll find that if you first deal with the thoughts, everybody's over here trying to deal with the behavior. They're trying to deal with the emotion. And this thing's got a hold of them. But you got to go back to the root of the problem. If you'll first deal with the thought or the thoughts, the wrong thoughts, and control those thoughts and think right thoughts, then you'll not have such a struggle and hard time with the negative feelings or the negative wrong emotions or the wrong desires that drive you to have certain emotions or to believe and act wrong. Amen? In other words, people think, well, I'm bound by this and I can't get free, and I want to be free of this, but I can't get free. I'm just driven and I have no control and I'm driven. It overwhelms me no matter how hard I try. I understand that. But if you'll believe that Jesus set you free, that's the first key. Have faith in God. Believe. Did Jesus set us free when He died on the cross? Jesus. Hallelujah. We got to back up and start over. Did Jesus set us free when He died on the cross? Of course He did. Amen. You're a million times freer than you realize. And then back up to the root problem, which is unchecked wrong thoughts, and do what God told us to do and begin to reject them every time they pop up. And saying this parenthetically now, yes, it will take effort, especially if that wrong thought, whatever thought it is, has been a rejection thought, a fear thought, a depressive thought, a lust thought, a sinful thought. If that wrong thought has been allowed to roam free in your mind for some time, it's going to take some effort. But if you'll reject the wrong thought, go back to the and begin to resist it and stand against it and replace it with the right thoughts, you'll find that you can successfully reject them. And if you continually reject it, your emotions will change and your wrong desires will subside and not overwhelm you. Hallelujah. So number three, because I was listing some things there, you must consistently and regularly reject wrong thoughts and replace them with the truths of God's word. You'll have to think right thoughts over and over and over and over and over again. That's why people become bound with fear or bound with insecurities or are totally depressed or full of some addictive behavior because they've thought the wrong thought over and over and over and over again. Well, you got to think right thoughts over and over and over again. Can you say amen? And you got to reject wrong thoughts over and over and over again and not give up. And if you do, you'll get to a place where you can change old thought patterns and it will be easier and easier and easier to do. Now, hang on. I'm teaching you and then I'm going to close by telling you some stories, okay? Hang on. 2 Corinthians 10, 3 through 5 said, pull down strongholds, cast down imaginations. As we've pointed out many times, the words pull down strongholds, cast down imaginations, images in your mind. The words pull down and casting down, same word, a little bit different form, you know, like one's plural or whatever. Same exact words in the Greek. The words pulling down and casting down means to totally demolish and destroy and pull apart piece by piece. So you see the attitude here. We're gonna demolish, we're gonna destroy, we're gonna pull down these wrong thoughts. And then he talks about strongholds. He talks about, this is the New King James, he talks about casting down arguments. Many translations that have arguments, the King James says imaginations. New King James says arguments. Some translations say reasonings. Some translations talk about logical ways of thinking. So any kind of thought, any kind of reason, any kind of image, any kind of argument, you are to cast it down if... It can be logical thinking. It can be a logical reasoning. But if it contradicts the knowledge of God's word, you are to destroy it and demolish it and pull it apart. Amen. And then it says, it talks about strongholds, talks about arguments. What is a stronghold? A stronghold, in its purest sense, is a fortified wall, like a castle. But it's especially like the prison in a castle that's fortified where you hold somebody as a prisoner. Because the idea, if a stronghold gets built up in your mind, you will be held as a prisoner. And so as it's used in this verse, it means thoughts, mindsets, thought patterns that are based on lies. They're not true. If it contradicts the word of God, it's not true. I don't care what you think. I don't care what I think. If it's not in line with the Bible, it's not true. And mindsets and thought patterns that are based on lies enable the enemy to dominate our lives in certain areas. It doesn't matter if it's true or not true. If you believe it's true, then you will act like it's true. Your emotions will say it's true, and you'll behave like it's true, even if it's not true. Amen? Amen. And then it says, so these are thought patterns based on lies. That's what a stronghold is. A mindset, a thought pattern based on lies that enable the enemy to dominate us or keep us imprisoned in certain areas of our lives. And then when he says, take every thought captive, I want you to understand, very interesting, in the Greek, the word thought means thoughts, but it also includes our emotions. Take every thought, take every emotion that's not in line with God's word captive, because you understand your thoughts trigger your emotions. Your thoughts cause you to have certain emotions. People wrongly think, I can't help the way I feel. I hate old so-and-so. I don't have any love in my heart for them, and I can't forgive them. That's just the way I feel. And so God says, well, if you feel that way, that's okay. You don't have to forgive them. God never talks about our feelings. He just tells us to think and act the right way. Because if you think and act the right way, your emotions will change. I feel like a man trapped in a woman's body. So? No. You feel that way because you're thinking wrong. Wrong thinking causes wrong emotions. And so it's not true that you have to act on and be controlled by your feelings. Amen. Glory to God. Can you handle this? Is this all right? Here's a book by Dr. Ed Wheat, you know, marriage counseling, Dr. Ed Wheat's books. You go to the Baptist bookstore, you'll see Dr. Ed Wheat. You go to the Pentecostal bookstore, you'll see Dr. Ed Wheat. You go to Kenneth Copeland's bookstore, you'll see Dr. Ed Wheat. You go to Raymond, you'll see Dr. Ed Wheat's book. And so he's talking about husbands and wives that don't feel like they love their spouse anymore or don't feel like they can forgive them. Now listen to what this man says. He said, you do not have to be controlled by your feelings. People think, well, if I feel this way, then that's just the way it is. You do not have to be controlled by your feelings. He said, people's thinking is like this. I can never feel any forgiveness toward my husband after what he did. I'd like to forgive my wife, but I just can't change the way I feel. I'm depressed. I can't help the way I feel. I feel like nobody loves me. The Bible says God loves you. What's true, your feelings or what God says? I can't change. I can't help it. These people are confessing a state of slavery. Now, he's not in our Word of Faith circles where we teach on the power of words and confession, but he knows the Bible, so he's just teaching the Bible. He says, when you say things like that, you are confessing a state of slavery. They are picturing themselves as enslaved by their own feelings, as prisoners of events that happened in the past, and yet Christians are already set free. Jesus said, you shall know the truth, and the truth will set you free. If the Son sets you free, you are free indeed. If you are a Christian trusting in Jesus Christ alone for salvation, right now you are more free than you know. That's good, isn't it? Now listen. Even in the secular world, counselors are dramatically changing their approach in a way that is much more in accord with biblical principles. Counselors no longer give exclusive attention to the patient's feelings. Many of them now concentrate on the importance of the individual's behavior. So begin by realizing that you are in control of your thoughts and you are in control of your behavior. This is what counts. It is a proven fact that feelings change as behavior changes. God in His Word, that you must understand, God is not even asking you to change your feeling. He never does that. Throughout Scriptures, He tells you the way He wants you to behave and the way He wants you to think because He created us. He knows full well that as we think rightly and behave rightly, right feelings will appear in us as a matter of course. Amen. This is so important because many people are bound. They're controlled. Or they've lost their peace and joy by lies and thoughts and emotions that tell them you're unloved, you're unwanted, nobody cares about you, or God couldn't forgive you. Or you know, sometimes people are bombarded and harassed by the thought, you're just going to die, you're just going to die, you're going to die early, you're going to die early. People are bombarded by thousands of different thoughts. You're going to die. Everybody thinks you're stupid. You're just a freak. You're just stupid. Nobody loves you. And 1,001 other things can come to people's minds and they're bombarded by those thoughts, harassed by those thoughts, tormented by those thoughts. Amen. And if you dwell on those wrong thoughts instead of rejecting them and let them roam free in your mind, you will believe it's true even though it's not true. And your emotions will tell you it's true. And then because your emotions are backing up what, you know, this thought, and so you'll live like it's true, you'll act like it's true, you'll behave like it's true, even though it's not true at all. And the root of the problem is an unrejected thought. Joyce Meyer tells this story now. This is when she's very young. She says she's 7 months pregnant. She said, we had a kind of a problem with mouse, you know, mice are easy to catch if you ever see one. And one time we saw one trapped like 14 of them, you know. Little bitty baby mouse, you know. Mices, meeses, mooses. And so she says, so one day I went into the Where'd she go? She went to the bathroom. And she said, inside the tub was a newborn baby mouse. And she said, I grabbed the plunger, screamed hysterically, jumped up on the toilet seat. And she said, I'm trying to stab this mouse with that thing and capture it. And she said, but I was so freaked out and so frightened. You know, I've half killed this baby mouse, which was weak already. And she said, I ran out of the bathroom, shut the door, ran into the kitchen, jumped up on top of the kitchen table and waited there for my husband to get home from work. Now, she had emotions as if that was a cobra snake or a rattlesnake. But her emotions were based on a lie. That mouse could not hurt her. But her emotions backed up the wrong thinking. Are you listening to me? In other words, she was controlled by fear because of what she thought was wrong. One night, years and years and years ago, we in the bedroom y'all were sleeping in, Margaret and I, for one whatever reason, the rooms were different, the bathroom was different, but we made that our master bedroom. And so one night, now I'm a sound sleeper. I mean, it can be a thunderstorm, lightning, loud thunder. And I wake up the next morning, people say, did that thunder wake you up? And I said, I didn't even know if it rained last night. But you know, one night in the middle of the night, I don't know if it was 2 or 3 o'clock, whatever, in the middle of the night, Margaret's hand just barely touches me, and in a very terrified voice, in a very, her voice was filled with panic and fright. I mean, in a freaky, spooky voice. How about that? She said, Mark. And I shot straight up, instantly awake. She's already up. And she said, somebody's in the room. And then she went, I was just dreaming. It's all right. And she laid back down. And I'm like, what? I mean, she believed it. She thought it and she believed it. So her emotion was real. It was based on a lie, but it was real. But I'm a believer. I mean, she's snoring. I got up out of bed. And I walked around. I looked in the closet. I looked in the bathroom. I left our bedroom and checked the whole house and went into the girls' room. Came back, she's snoring. And I'm still just wide awake. But listen. There was no one in the bedroom. But she thought there was and she believed there was. And her emotions backed up and supported what she thought. Nobody loves you. You feel like nobody. I can't help my feelings. Yes, you can. You can go back and change the thought. And when you change the thought, the emotion will change. Her emotions were no different than if some was in our bedroom. Joyce's emotions were scared her just as much if the baby mouse had been a rattlesnake, but it wasn't. I remember as a kid, I mean, I'm just 8 or 9 years old. I mean, this is 60 plus years ago. I mean, if I was 10, it happened, if I was 9, it happened 60 years ago. I'm 69. 60 years ago, I remember this vividly. I had a nightmare. And in this nightmare, some creature was after me. Some monster was after me. Some alien was after me. I don't know what it was, but it was after me. And I mean, I was paralyzed by fear. I know what people mean when they say paralyzed by fear. I wanted to get up and run to my parents' bedroom, but I literally could not move a finger. Because I don't know if this might have only lasted 15 minutes. To me, it seemed like it lasted almost all night long. And there were times I was... You know, I'm consciously remember this dream, so I'm almost awake and half awake, so to speak. And I mean, I literally could not move a finger. You know the expression, scared stiff? I was scared stiff. And so this thing was after me, and sometimes the creature would kind of go away, but then all of a sudden he'd come back. I knew he would come back because I could. He made this ticky noise, tick, tick. Tick, 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 tick. And he was getting closer and closer and closer. I mean, I was scared stiff. Well, when I finally woke up and realized what was going on, and I remember this vividly, you know, in our house, we didn't have, you know, central heat and air, we had an old furnace to heat the house. And when that furnace would come on, you know, to make heat, it would make a ticking noise. So when it got colder and the thermostat, whatever, kicked it on, then it would tick, tick, tick. And that monster was after me. That was a lie. But I thought it was true. And my emotions said it were true. And I reacted like it was true. But it was a lie. Are you listening to me? The mouse could not hurt Joyce. There was no person in our bedroom that night. There was no monster after me. Thank God for that one. There was no monster after me. But the lie suggested to my mind, or to Margaret's mind, or to Joyce Meyer's mind, was entertained and thought on and believed and created wrong feelings and wrong emotions and caused people to act and behave like it was true. This is why people are bound with this insecurities, or why they feel rejected, or why people are depressed. This is why people are bound by some lust, or bound by fear and anxiety, or bound by hate for others, or self-hate, or shame and condemnation, or feel rejected and unloved and unworthy, and on and on and on and on and on, which in turn leads to being controlled. See, if you believe it's true, then it becomes your reality. And you believe it's true because you first entertained it in your thought life. Always goes back to your thought life. This is why people are controlled by destructive habits and behavior and wrong desires, or sometimes it has nothing to do with wrong behavior or destructive patterns, why people are robbed of peace and joy. Amen. And mental well-being and the blessings of God that are intended for them to have. And all of this is thoughts that were not demolished, not destroyed, not taken captive, not rejected when they first came on the scene. So let me just close with this. Let me just give you a few quotes here, a few poem quotes, sayings from different people on the mind. Joel Osteen said, "You're not going to overcome fear and live a powerful, victorious life if you're not disciplined in your thought life. That's where the main battle is taking place. If you let the enemy control your thoughts, he will control your whole life. So guard your mind." Another saying is, "Each of us is what we are because of the dominating thoughts we permit to occupy our minds." Let me say that again. Each of us is what we are because of the dominating thoughts we permit to occupy our minds. A passing thought is not a dominating thought, but when you take it and dwell on it, then it becomes your dominating thought, and your dominating thoughts are controlling your mind. Another one says, "Watch your thoughts, for they become words. Watch your words, for they become actions. Watch your actions, for they become habits. Watch your habits, for they become character. Watch your character, for it becomes your destiny." But in all of these, and you could go on and on and on, in all of these, it's always going back to thoughts. We'll talk about this one maybe some other time, but I like this one. I came up with this from different people, but attention leads to appetite, and appetite leads to action. In other words, what your mind focuses on, what you give, what you think on and dwell on and entertain, leads to appetite, leads to certain desires. And your desires lead to actions. And so you could go on and on and on, but they all show that the process to wrong and right behavior, to wrong and right emotions, to wrong and right decisions, to wrong and the things that give peace or things that enjoy and things that rob you of peace and joy, it all starts with thoughts. So we must diligently guard against wrong thoughts and deliberately. We must diligently guard against wrong thoughts and purposely, diligently think on or dwell on good thoughts. Can you say amen? Amen. Let's stand together. Praise God. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Amen. I said amen. Say it out loud. Say, "I am who the Bible says I am. Not who my feelings say I am. I am who God says I am. I have what God says I have, not what my feelings tell me I have. I can do what God tells me I can do, not what my feelings say. Glory to God. Amen. So it gets back. I know, I have to know. I'm counseling lots and lots and lots and lots of people that were bound by lots and lots of thoughts and lots of different avenues and bound by wrong behavior, or their peace was gone, their joy was gone. They were struggling in some area of their life. It all goes back to thoughts. And if you can get somebody to deal with their thoughts and to begin to change those thoughts and get those thoughts in line with the Word of God, then it changes everything else. But I'm not. It's easier to talk about than it's easier to do, but you can do it, and it is the way to real and lasting victory. You know, Harold's not here this morning, but he's told me many times, if I get on the edge of this, he'll come up and say, "You remember what you told me years and years and years ago when I was struggling mightily with depression?" And I'll go, "I don't remember now," but originally I'd say, "No, I don't remember, Harold." He said, "You told me." He said, "You can almost sense that depression coming towards you like a dark cloud, can't you?" And he said, yes, I can. I said, when it first comes, you reject it. You stand against it. You refuse to think those thoughts. You refuse to entertain those thoughts. And you do it over and over and over again. And he said, and it will leave you. And it may come back in 2 or 3 days, but you do it again. And it may come back in 2 or 3 days, but you do it again. And it'll eventually leave you and not ever come back again. And Harold will tell you, he'll say, "That's exactly what I did." And he said, I rejected it. And it went away and it never came back. He said, "You know, there's other people that tell me they have problems with the depression." I'll say, "Listen, this is what you need to do." And they'll go, "No, that won't work." Glory to God. Hallelujah. If you're saved and you know it, lift one hand to God. Amen. Praise God. Glory to God. Aren't you glad for heaven? I said, "Aren't you glad for heaven?" Amen. I was listening to somebody just last week that went to heaven, you know, and they just like almost everybody does has ever went to heaven. They stopped and said, you know, to the side, "Hey, don't ever worry about anybody that's in heaven. You just can't even begin to describe it and imagine it." And that's where we're headed. But how about a little heaven on earth? How about a little heaven on earth? Good marriages, peace, well-being, glory to God, victory. How are you going to have it? You're going to believe God's word, but you're not going to believe God's word unless you think right. Right thinking leads to right believing, and right believing leads to right actions and right emotions. It all begins with the mind. Say, "I will. I will. And I can. And I will control my thoughts in Jesus' name." Amen. Well, how many of you are doers of the word? Glory to God. Hallelujah. It's good to see you this morning. We love you. Praise God. God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. We'll see you Wednesday night. You're dismissed. Thank you, Jesus.